If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and we have a special broadcast here today. We're going to take some of the best of our weekly show, that's the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, and give you a couple interviews of head coach Brad Underwood. That was done in early November. And we're going to give you a second interview with former Illini head coach Bruce Weber that was also done in mid-November before he started his broadcasting career. So one of the things that you can do is you're like, well, you got this off of the Sports Spectacular. Well, we wanted to kind of preview that show for folks who haven't had a chance to listen to it. If you go to IlliniGuys.com and you hit the radio button, it'll take you to the Sports Spectacular page, which will show you everywhere that you can find it on the radio in the state of Illinois. And we have a couple of our bordering states as well. But if you go ahead and you go to that link, you just find the city closest to you, find the station, and it will tell you what day, Friday or Saturday, that the show's on and what time. And if you get an opportunity, if you like what you hear on this show with our interview with Coach Underwood and Coach Weber, we'd ask you to see if you can listen to us on Fridays or Saturdays. And if you find a way to contact the station, whether it's a phone call or a quick email, it's always great to give them feedback on the shows. So with that, let's take a listen to our interview with Illinois head coach Brad Underwood. Thanks.
Right back here on the Sports Spectacular, this segment presented by Busey Bank, our newsmaker segment. And he is a guy who's been making news now for half a decade, and then some. Brad Underwood, the head coach of the Fighting Illini men's basketball team. For the first time since the mid-2000s, this team going in the preseason top 25, 23rd here to start this season as we're getting ready for the opener on Monday night against Eastern Illinois. Coach, welcome to the show, and I want to talk to you about that. What does it mean in terms, to me, when you're in the preseason rankings, the big thing that it means to me is that your program is one of the most respected, because, you know, there's so much movement now with kids one and done, the transfer portal. It's really hard to know how a team is going to perform with all the moving parts. It says to me that you've now reached that segment where the media says that you're one of the best programs in the country.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's been the long storied history of preseason rankings is what you've done and where your program's been at. I also think that we probably have a different set of standards now based on recruiting rankings from the portal and how that factors in. I'd like to think that we've got this program at a place that consistency is the norm. And that we're going to be in a position to be one of those top 25 teams every year. And I get it. You know, you've got to play the games and they are preseason rankings, but it's sure nice to start there. And, we've got to go earn it now and earn our stripes, but that's why we play the games.
Hey coach, with five returning players, Have you had to dig deep into your coaching bag of tricks to figure out how to integrate all these new pieces into a team with such high expectations?
Yeah, it's been different. You know, last year it was such a common ground because everybody knew what we were doing, and we were very advanced. In terms of offensive packages and being able to put some of those things in. This year it's put the brakes on, ton of teaching, a ton of getting to know and understand your team. And that's been, that's been a process. You throw in that we didn't have Matt Meyer most of the summer. And now all of a sudden, you know, it's the start of school and you're still trying to figure it out. But that will probably, I hope not, but probably become the norm, you know, with the portal. Again, I think my junior college years have helped in knowing that, you know, I've had as many as 10 new guys in 1 year before in junior college. And veterans are not a real common thing. We got really coachable guys. We've got a freshman class that's very mature. And we've got enough experience and enough leadership that, I hope it carries us through until those freshmen keep gaining on their experiences.
Well, I know for fans of the program, it was obviously exciting last week to see this team finally come together after, you know, all the obvious drama in the spring and Kofi deciding to leave and the guys coming in, Taryn Shannon, the rumors and things like that. And great to see them. The first thing that I noticed within the first few minutes, obviously it was a little bit sloppy early on. And you've been talking about this. And of course, Brad, our insider talking about this, is just you're long and quick and no offense against some teams in the past, but that length in the backcourt, what a difference it makes when you've got a guy, maybe he's not 6'1", but 6'6", guarding that number two spot.
Yeah, that's positional size is what I'm calling it. And I think one of the things that even with our freshmen, and you look at Sky, you know, Sky's 205 pounds. You look at Ty Rogers, 6'6", 220. You look at Jaden Epps, he's a really strong 185. They're not typical freshman bodies. Then you start throwing, RJ out there at 6'6", 6'7", and you start throwing Taryn Shannon at 6'7", Matthew Meyer at 6'9", and all of a sudden it's Coleman, it's a whole bunch of length, pretty quick, So it's got to be one of our team's strengths is that positional size. And we're still toying around with a lot of different things, playing Dane and Coleman. And you start looking at, playing Ty Rogers at the point some, and you can get really big. And so we've got to keep growing that package. Yet it's very different. We're trying to play faster. We've got wings who are very good in the open court. Terrence Shannon really didn't get loose a whole lot in the Quincy scrimmage and our secret scrimmage. He was phenomenal. I mean, he was maybe the best player on the court, probably was the best player on the court. But again, that's to this team's advantage, and then we can do different things offensively and defensively as well.
Now you've got a fantastic freshman group coming in this year. How the heck, as a coaching staff, do you figure out who you're going to recruit in high school when the transfer portal injects so much change every year?
I've always looked at it this way with recruiting freshmen. We're a development program and we make guys better, and we're going to work and we're going to grind guys. And I mean that in a really positive way, in the weight room, with nutrition, with our on-court workouts. I think every player that's come through our program has gotten better. They've added strength. They've grown that way. I like to recruit that way. I like to recruit guys who want to work to continue to grow and get better. I want to recruit guys that don't want to leave the University of Illinois. I understand that that's every case is different, and they may. And I think that's when we've got to fill in with guys from the portal. And I don't want to make it a real common thing, but I want it to be something that can be very beneficial. And, you know, we did that with Alfonso Plummer. We needed shooting. He obviously fit that bill. Terrence, Matthew, getting those guys in the spring, they fit what we needed and made us better with, you know, two skilled guys with size that can shoot it, drive it, play with versatility. And then probably the most important thing come from winning programs. And that success is something that we look for a lot in the portal.
Talking with Brad Underwood, head coach of the Fighting Illini here on the UC Newsmakers line on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. Coach, I was just thinking, this is the first time you're going into a season in several years without an Ayo Dosunmu or a Kofi Coburn on your roster. What is it like? How has this program evolved since the last time that happened? You entered a season without one of those two on your roster. And how have you changed? How has your approach changed as a coach and maybe even as a person, considering who you were, where the program was then, and where you both are now?
Well, I'm going to add Trent Frazier to that as well, because Trent was a very comforting piece as a head coach to have on your side. But, I think that I feel great about our talent. I think our talent level is at a place now that we feel like we have potential pros. And, you don't win at this level if you don't have really good players. I also think there's a much better understanding of our players coming into this program, what to expect. I think early on, everything was very new. We were changing a culture. We were demanding, expecting all those things that were tough, and they were different. I think everybody knows those things now. That we're going to play really hard, that we're going to demand and maybe expect more from each player than maybe they expect from themselves. So I like to think that along with our talent, the character of our players is in a place where they know exactly what they've gotten into, and success and winning and great facilities at a great university is all part of that.
And of course, you've got a fantastic staff that you put together not even a year and a half ago. How are those roles of those assistant coaches? What are they doing in terms of day-to-day practice to help you achieve your goal of being a developmental program?
Yeah, they're huge. They're the biggest piece. You don't do this without a great staff. And Chester and Tim coming in brand new. Jeff had been in the program and we just elevated to an on the court role. But I've known Jeff forever and we've worked together in those scenarios. But, when you come to work at the University of Illinois and come to work for me, you better be able to coach. And it's not just stand on the sideline with your arms folded and do nothing. It's jump both feet in this isn't, a one-person show by any stretch. These guys have to develop great relationships, work them out in the off season. And then everybody's got segments in practice where, whether they're working with guards, bigs, wings, whatever it is, by position and they're dialed in there. And then, we have Jeff handles our offensive stuff. Chester handles our defensive stuff. Tim is, as we call it, is the special teams guy with baseline, sideline outs, substitutions and personnel. So everybody's got a big role in this, a big hand in this. And I really like it that way because they're much more than recruiters. They're also really, really good basketball coaches.
Yeah. One other follow-up, Coach, when you talk about a developmental program, do you also mean that for your assistant coaches and how you are working to improve their skill sets?
Oh, absolutely. I don't want any coach to leave here for another assistance job. I want them to think that they're at the pinnacle of, in terms of the food chain, they're at the top. And, you know, when they leave here, they should be ready to be a head coach. You do that by learning how to coach. You know, we make we have our assistant coaches meet all the time so that they learn to communicate with each other, not just with players. You know, are there disagreements? Absolutely. Are there things that we have great conversation about? Yes. But we've hired really, really good people. They're great family men. They all have supportive spouses, children. Chester's just got a brand new one, actually. And but it's a this needs to be their last stop until their head coaches, and all three of those guys are working to be very ready for that next step.
As we mentioned earlier, the 2022-23 season tips off Monday night at State Farm Center with Eastern Illinois. Go Panthers, my alumni. Thank you very much. My alma mater in there. But you've got to really, you've got Eastern to start, and then you've got a few games before you get to the Vegas games and into the meat of the schedule. You've got a really competitive schedule and one that you really might not have scheduled yourself a few years ago. But I think when you come out of the non-con, and you know this better than I would, that you'll hopefully have a really good sense of what this team's about. I mean, you've got UCLA game, and then either Baylor or Virginia, the two games in Vegas. You've got Syracuse provides a different look in the ACC Big Ten game. Texas in New York is going to be a great matchup. And of course, in the Big Ten season, starting off the first game at Maryland. How does this non-con look for you? And is it different than in the past?
Yeah, I think the one thing we've tried to stay very consistent with in scheduling is playing great people. To me, the ability to win a game, and I get it, sometimes we're all based on how many games we win and it looks great, your schedule. You know what? Those days are pretty much gone in terms of getting into the NCAA tournament. There's so many analytics out there. And I don't like just being, you know, we could probably put a schedule together. We were 11-0 or 12-0 or pretty close to it. And then you go into league play and you've won every game by 15 to 20. And yet you don't know you don't know who you are. And I've always tried to schedule hard and challenging. And I think it pays its dividends. I think players want to play in big games. I think that it definitely benefits your team to have some adversity. You know, I don't want adversity when it sets in conference play. I want to know how we react when somebody smacks us or does something to us that bothers us. And you play non-league games do we want to win them? But yes, you got to get better and you got to grow. And so by league time, I think you're hardened and you're tough and you've seen just about everything and you're not in shock if something happens to you. So we're always going to try to play one of those schedules, and the Big Ten is going to provide 20 really, really hard games, no matter where you're at and who you play. So we better be ready for that.
When you're having these schedule, I know one of the things that you've done so well is keep your team focused on the next game. When you see those Las Vegas games coming, what do you do as a coach to keep your team focused on the next game, not the next quote big game?
Oh, believe me, it's all Eastern Illinois right now. I think that, we're everybody's human. They know those games are out there. There's scenarios in practice where, you know, you're looking at, okay, if we play this team, they could run this, and you might handle that situation in practice and never say anything to your players who's running it. Man, for me, it's got to be simple. It's got to be the next day. It's get better the next day. It's the next opponent. And as soon as you start looking by somebody, you get beat. And so it's a couple weeks away, that's a long time in practices and games. So we've got to just keep it really simple and stay really focused.
We know that your time is precious. A couple more questions here. And one I'm going to ask, I think we need to ask, is obviously the Luke Goody surgery last week. And how's his prognosis? And realistically, when would you like to get him back on the court?
I don't know the time to be back. I think we'll start looking at evaluations and, you know, around the first of the year, maybe Christmas. I we'll see that everybody heals at a different rate. His surgery was very, very successful. He was, he got in quick, and had that process done. He was back in the training room today. Moving the foot and doing some stuff. He's still in a boot for another few days, but we'll just play it by ear. You know how that process plays out, we'll see. It's a big loss. Luke is a veteran. He's a guy that is, I always say you can replace points and rebounds, but you can't replace a guy like Luke, who is an unbelievable communicator. He's a great team leader. He's going to have to find different ways to do that other than being on the court to help us. But he never shuts up on the court. And coaches love that. That's a really good thing. He's always talking. He understands our lingo. He understands what's coming. That's where he's a big loss for us.
I guess the other thing is, As you're moving forward, and you've got you've got him kind of waiting. What do you do? How do you utilize a person like Fletch to help Luke as he rehabs this injury?
Oh, there's really no such thing as an off day with us, and even though he might not be able to run. Or to you may be in a boot. He's still got two arms, a chest, the work. And Fletch is a master at coming up with creative ways to keep getting guys workouts, keep them in shape. Obviously, Paul Schmidt, our trainer, will also be very involved with his with his recovery and his rehab. And we now have the pool with the treadmill. We've got all these bikes and different things. So, keeping him in great shape, is going to be at the forefront of it. We can't let him, just sit idle and that doesn't happen in our program, but we got great, great people involved and we'll make sure, Luke's working every day.
Yeah. Before I let you go, I lied. One additional question. Football is killing it right now. It's fun to hear from some of the football people and then now women's basketball and Shauna Green using your program as, the standard, saying, hey, we've seen Brad do it. Now we can do it. How exciting is it to have a successful football program? And it only enhances everything you guys do when you've got your program in the fall rolling and all the additional attention going them gets those media people and some of the people there on campus that might not have shown up before.
It's huge. I can't tell you how important it is to have a great football team. And it's just fun. There's a completely different vibe on campus. And you see everybody with their head up and everybody's excited. And they're talking about, Saturday's game. And those are the obvious things. Just the feel good on campus and around. And everybody in BFL's upbeat and that's something that's very exciting. All the obvious, it helps in recruiting and you've got a packed stadium and winning becomes very, very contagious. And Shauna's going to do the same thing and on the women's side and she's going to build a heck of a program. She understands how to do it and build it with culture. And Brett has done that same thing it's fun to be around that success and be able to feed off of that. And Brett and I talk a lot, and it's great just to hear the excitement. And it's fun as a coach to just see the chemistry that team's playing with and how they've grown and with their confidence. And it's very contagious. And those athletes hang out with each other; they talk a lot. That's what's fun is being on a college campus when everybody's winning. So We're definitely a football school, that's for sure.
I love it. No arguments at all. And that's a great place to leave it. That, and you mentioned the word I was looking for, culture. You've done a great job of restructuring this program and bringing that culture, changing the culture, that it's not just, hey, we won. It's no. We expected to win. And we expect big things there. And certainly, as you mentioned, Brett is doing that in football. And we agree. We believe that Sean is going to do the same thing in basketball. Coach Brett Underwood, good luck Monday night against the Panthers the rest of the way. And appreciate your time. And we'll talk with you soon.
I appreciate you guys. Have a great day. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Coach.
Coach Brett Underwood here on the Busey Newsmaker line. Again, presented by Busey Bank, proud sponsor of the Fighting Illini and this program as well. We'll take a quick time out right now and much more continuing here on the Illini Guys Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike Kegley again here on Eye on the Illini. This is one of the podcasts that the Illini guys do that you can listen to. Besides this podcast, you can also listen to Sturdy for 30. That's Brad's award-winning podcast that has a ton of Illini-related guests and guests from around the Big Ten, because he has been working, you know, covering Illini sports for 20-plus years. People across the nation know who he is, and he gets some really cool guests. So please subscribe to that one along with Eye on the Illini. And of course, Ked's Recruiting Roundup is another one. Ked gives you the What It's Like to Be Recruited podcast, and he talks to players, their parents, and their coaches about the experience of being recruited by a school like Illinois. And it is fascinating to kind of get on the other side of the fence. The other thing that's really cool about that podcast is, you know, a lot of times you'll find that these kids end up going to the U of I, and it gives you an introduction to players that you'll be cheering on in the near future. So please do that. And of course, now next up, we have our interview from Bruce Weber. It was around mid-November. And he was just going into calling his first game as a commentator. So we thought that would be fun to catch up with Coach Weber. And of course, Larry and Brad know him very well from years of past, you know, interactions, et cetera. So here is our interview with Bruce Weber.
Time for our Game Changers segment presented by OSF Healthcare. And our next guest did things at Illinois that no one else has. Bruce Weber, 2005 National Coach of the Year, when he got to the Illini to their best season ever, 37-2, their only appearance in the national championship game. And he is now in his first week in his new role as a game color commentator on the Big Ten Network. And that includes working the Illinois-Missouri-Kansas City game Friday night. Coach, welcome to the Sports Spectacular.
Thanks for having me on. It's good to be always good to talk to Illinois people.
Yeah, that's right. I know you're like you said, right back at home, right? You know, I happen to think that you will be, I didn't catch the Purdue game, but I don't think you're going to be great at this, just knowing you and having a chance to talk with you even back to your Purdue days and SIU. We have a lot of conversations. How did this come to pass, joining BTN?
Well, after, you know, I decided to retire last spring, a couple different people I know in the, you know, different networks called and just kind of talked to me, you know, what are you going to do? Are you interested? And a good friend, actually, Steve Shearer, who was with CBS and covered a lot of our games on the way to the Final Four that year. You know, he's now with Fox, and he called and he said, you know, Big Ten Network really is looking for a coach. They don't have a coach in, you know, as part of their, either their studio or their broadcasting. And, they got a lot of former players and, you know, they're the regular announcers. So, he just said, would you be interested? So I, you know, kind of started talking with the Big Ten people, went up and did a rehearsal, a rehearsal slash interview or whatever. And, I thought it, and Megan, my wife, really encouraged it. She just thought, you know, you got to do something. And I went from 340 days at work in 340 days a year, 10 to 12 hour days, to all of a sudden now you don't have anything. So a couple days a week, we thought it'd be great. Stay involved with basketball. And I was really excited. They really talked about the studio first. And I was excited about that. I've done that. And then they said, hey, would you try some games? And I, a little unsure. Last night was my first one, the Purdue game. And but I made it through it. I didn't screw up too bad. The only thing I kept forgetting about the talk back, but you know, you got somebody talking in your ear and as you know, and then somebody's your announcer, Kevin, last night it was Kevin Krugler, and you know, he's talking, I'm trying to pay attention to game, and I kept answering the guy in my ear, and I wasn't supposed to, so. But other than that, I thought it went okay, and I got much more relaxed. Kevin did a great job, obviously a veteran, does NFL, college basketball, has done it for years. I've worked with Dave Revson a little bit on in the studio stuff, and, you know, those guys are pros, and they set you up, and they throw you, you know, the slow, easy pitch to hit. So it makes it easier.
So what you're really telling us is your wife wanted you out of the house.
That might be a little bit. We're in a little condo now in St. Louis, and it might get, you know, once in a while get me out so I don't drive her crazy. But we've been pretty busy. I did a lot of clinics this fall. Went to some campuses, some coaches I know had me come in and kind of just, you know, watch practice, visit with their staff, talk about, you know, defense or whatever, different things. And, you know, so I kept busy, you know, which was great, you know, because again, I, you know, 45 years when you include high school, every year at this time I've been coaching. So just thought it would be, you know, something to do.
So as you kind of get into this new part of your career, the next stage, right? Do you find yourself wanting to like jump in and like coach? I mean, like being on the other side, like, you know, I know it's weird. Like, as you know, I always think like, well, I would have done this or I would have done that when I'm watching a game. So I can't imagine if I have to like have like that mental flow sometimes where I'm going, well, he should have done this, you know? And so how are you handling that part of it?
I think that's going to be a big thing and I've talked to, you know, Bill Rafferty, John Beilein did it a little bit with the Big Ten Network after he was let go by the Cavs, and, you know, Seth Greenberg, Fran Fischella, you know, and they just said, you got to be careful of criticizing the coaches, critiquing, you know, make suggestions, you know, they got to do a better job getting inside, you know, basic things, I think, things you watch in practice and not overdo it. But there's no doubt. I tried to call Matt Painter today and tell him some things I needed. They needed to improve for the next year.
Yeah, Larry has to do that with Brad and I after every broadcast. He has a whole list of things.
That is true. I think that's accurate. So
yeah, he basically runs out of pens faster than anybody from writing all this stuff. Runs out of ink. You know, as you look back on those years, you know, obviously here we are on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. When you have one memory of the your tenure as the Fighting Illini coach, you know, what maybe is one of your favorite ones that doesn't involve the 2004-05 team, but that might surprise somebody?
Oh, I don't know. It's hard. Obviously that, the year before, I think it really, you know, we were struggling. I couldn't get them to buy in, the staff. I mean, we worked at it slowly but surely. Darren was probably the first one that really, I have no idea. And I've talked about that before, but he seemed to latch on, and, you know, Luther had his off the court things, and I went on the limb and helped them out, and, you know, received a lot of criticism. You guys probably don't know how many letters and things I got about that. But, you know, then Luther jumped in, and then D, and then just that, you know, it was, if you remember, at Wisconsin, we're struggling and they're just kicking our butt. I mean, they are just killing us. And Devin Harris is running in our huddle and talking trash. And, you know, we had even had a fan come in the huddle and told me I need to put Nick Smith in, and the trombones that were doing the polka. And you know, I think that game after that, you know, we just, it might have put us 2-3 in the league. And then we went on a run that obviously one of the best runs in the history of Illinois basketball, of college basketball. You think about from that point through the next season. That year, the same year, then it kind of all built up to get to that Sweet 16 to beat Cincinnati the way we did. It was pretty impressive. And, and Duke, and I think it really set us up to have an understanding of how you can, advance in the tournament, what needs to be done. So all that part of setting up was a lot of fun, but there's a lot of good moments. Obviously for me, it's really about the players, working with them, the relationships. That's why I got into coaching, and that's what I miss. I miss right now the staff meetings, writing up practice, and then dealing with the players. Now I still talk, I would say, I probably talk to two players a day, a minimum, sometimes more. And I still talk to all the assistant coaches, and now the guys that are head coaches or former players that are coaches. And, it's part of my daily routine. I'm trying. I told somebody yesterday, every day you help somebody in some way. And I still have it, but it's not like every day you go to the office and you're somebody's, there's an issue, there's a problem that you got to help solve. But that was what I really enjoyed about coaching and working with young men and helping them grow.
Coach, you bring up a good time talking with Coach Weber, of course, here. Illini fans know that voice. You still got it now on the Big Ten Network, of course. Coach, I remember that you bring up a great point, that 03-04 season. And you're right. When you hit that point, from that point in early 04, all the way getting into early 06, you guys won. And this isn't accurate. It's close. Something like 63 out of 66 games. I mean, you lost to Duke to end the season here. And then, and I think lost to the Big Ten tournament. And then, of course, the two games in 04, 05. And then you won like the first 14 games the next year. So, I mean, that was you're right. One of the most unbelievable runs we've seen the last 20 years in college basketball. Tell us about the game now. I mean, you got out right before things kind of got crazy. Seeing some coaches, Jay Wright was the biggest shocker, Mark Turgeon walking away, and some others. How's the game changed now in the very short time since you retired from the bench?
Oh, it's obviously NIL was starting to become part of college basketball. The portal started a year ago. Those two things, I always say, AAU started and recruiting rules just started, and there's been a lot of changes. I've seen it all. 3-point shot being put in, extending the 3-point line, even the shot clock, that they experimented with it in the early 80s, and then they added it. So there's been a lot of things. And, Coach Katie with AAU went in, I remember he like, oh, it's going to kill basketball. Well, it didn't kill basketball. And it's just part of life, the changes. But I'll be honest, I'm a little worried. A lot of coaches I talked to, today, I talked to different coaches, guys that retire, because this is a big week. I did talk to Mark Turgeon today. I talked to Bob McKillop today. I tried to connect with Coach Beilein, didn't get a chance, but Kevin Stallings, guys that have been around. And I think we're all worried. And even Matt Painter, Tom Izzo, guys that I deal with, assistant coaches, Chris Lowry, guys have been in it. Is the NIL sustainable? Is it going to create issues in locker rooms? Is it going to create issues with fans, boosters that give money and then players don't? They have great production and now they don't, are they, so there's a lot of questions. We'll have to see what happens, but the money part, the sustainable part is something that I wonder if it can keep going. It'll be interesting that if that happens, but, the bad part, I think for fans, guys keep leaving, rosters keep changing. You watch these guys grow, and that was part of the fun, the seed. Darren Williams, get better. And he had a good freshman year, a better sophomore year, and a great junior year. So, you know, those, that was, I think the fans are going to miss it. And for the players, you know what I really worry about? I talked with Matt Painter about this in length. You know, when players stay at a place for 4 years, they have somebody to call to go for help. And now if they keep moving, who are they going to call when they need help? Because they're going to need help. Everyone needs help sometimes. Right. And, you know, I one of my guys left K-State the last year. And, you know, I still, I'm not mad at him. I understand. But I talked to him the other day and he just said, Coach, thank you for reaching out. I just love hearing your voice. And he, you know, he needed help and I'm going to help him. But, you know, but it's harder when they do leave. And, you know, I don't think parents, I don't think kids realize that staying at a place, developing, networking, gives you lifetime relationships that are going to help you, you know, hopefully with jobs and whatever, and you can go back to the reunions. Are you going to have, I had my SIU 2016 20th year anniversary, and we had a bunch of guys back raising money for SIU basketball. But you know, those guys were talking about it. Coach, we wouldn't be here, you know, if the portal was in, guys were all moving around, we wouldn't have had that run into the Sweet 16. So and they said they felt bad because guys are going to miss that. They're going to miss coming back in 20 years from now and saying, hey, I was part of this special thing.
Yeah, it's, the game has obviously changed. Now for you, you know, you spent a lot of time in the Big Ten. You've seen at Illinois, and then you saw, you know, you were out in the Big 12, but Illinois is kind of, you know, when you were there, you had some of the, obviously the highest of highs going to the Final Four. Now you've seen them kind of have a resurgence now. What are your thoughts on where Brad Underwood's taken this program since he took over?
You know, he's gotten, obviously, you know, players help. It all, players make it better coaches. There's no doubt. He's been able to get some good players. And I don't think he's not afraid to coach them. I think that's important. It's with young coaches. I think right now I'm worried about a little bit when I go out to some campuses, young guys, you don't have to cuss them out and do this to them and that, but you got to coach them. You know, that's part of, you know, if you're a teacher, and you've done that, if you don't demand something, they're not going to learn. They're not going to get better. So, and improve. And you got to, you know, there's got to be discipline and things like that. So, you know, he's been able to get players. He's been able to get them to play hard, play together, you know, and he's done a great job to win you know, anytime you win championships in the Big Ten, it's special because it doesn't happen all the time.
You know, one of the questions I had is, you know, you started with Coach Katy at Western Kentucky, and then you went with him to Purdue, and you were there for 18 years.
Yeah.
And I'm a Southern Illinois grad, so you went to SIU and did a wonderful job there. What made you decide to transition to being a head coach at that point in your career? And then how much did all those years of being, you know, the lead assistant, how much did that help you when you then were running the show yourself?
Well, I think one, you got to remember when I went to Western Kentucky, first of all, I graduated high school at 17, graduated college at 20. Now you see freshmen coming in at 20, guys playing to 20, 25. So I was the youngest assistant in the Big Ten for quite a while. And at that time, young guys weren't getting coaching jobs. So I'm, you know, Coach Katy, Clem Haskins is one assistant, Clem the Gem, if you remember, and Ray Hite, who played at North Carolina, with Phil Ford in that. He was the other assistant. So, you know, Clem gets the job. Ray decides to stay with Clem because they just had a baby and built a house. And Coach just, I'm the grad assistant. He goes, you want to come? I'll come to Purdue. So, you know, it was just unbelievable opportunity for me. And then to be with him, we won, six Big Ten championships. And, you know, I wish we would have got to the Final Four. We had a few teams. We just never got there. But, you know, I was going to be the head coach at Purdue. I mean, it was pretty well documented or whatever talked about. And then we got a new AD and a new president. And they said, well, you got, you know, if you're going to get this job, you got to prove yourself as a head coach. Well, you know, Coach Katy said, you better get your butt out there and get a head coaching job. And the Southern job just happened to fall in place. And, And then the funny thing is, and I talked with some Purdue people yesterday, that when I was there, that you know, every year they asked me to come back, and I wasn't going to be the guy to push Coach Katie out. You know, that he's, you know, beside my dad, mom, you know, probably, you know, most of influential person in my life. And I'd meet with Coach at the Final Four. I say, are you ready? And I knew he wasn't ready to retire. He didn't really want to retire when he did, but, you know, and so I had to, I went to Southern, and then, you know, and a lot of people don't even know this, just a few, even when I was at Illinois, they still called me and said, well, you want to come to Purdue? And I, you know, at that time I was too invested, obviously, in Illinois. And even at Southern, you made me move. I moved my family. We got a really good team coming up, and I enjoy being a head coach. And I didn't want to, you know, be the one that kind of, you know, why are you moving coach out? And then obviously when coach, they made the decision that he was going to retire, you know, we worked it out where Matt became the, you know, coach in waiting. And you know, it's just amazing what Matt has done at Purdue, you know, what fourth leading wins in the history of the Big Ten now, fourth or fifth, whatever it is, behind Coach Katie, Coach Knight, and Tom Izzo, I think. And so, you know, it ended up being a really good story for him.
Bruce Weber, now Big Ten Network analyst, is what it says on his business card. Coach, thanks for your time and the memories. And I'm serious. I hope that you'll join us again soon, because there's so many stories that we could talk about that I know Illini fans and Big Ten fans would enjoy. So please come back and good luck with this season. We can't wait to watch you get more comfortable and there your calls would then be better. Not that they were ever not good throughout this season.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I appreciate it. I'd love to come back. And hopefully as the season gets on and I've seen all the teams, we can, you know, maybe in January talk about the Big Ten and what it's about. I'll see 6 or 7 teams in person before then, and hopefully more on TV, and looking forward to it. It's going to be an interesting year in the league. There's a lot of, you know, when we were at Big Ten Media Day, who's the best, who's the top three. It was different on almost every person's board. So it should be fun to watch. And obviously, you know, last night, 14-1-2-3 and Mackey in Champaign, a sellout probably Friday night. Those are, you know, special to be part of. Great, great traditions and fan support, and happy to be part of it.
What a great job that the basketball gods or the brass at BTN have laid upon you, that your first two stops in this new role, West Lafayette, and then Champaign. This is very cool.
I think they thought about that a little bit.
Probably so. Great timing though. And you're reading my mind. We definitely want to have your expertise on here later on. Coach Bruce Weber here again. He's now an analyst, game analyst with the Big Ten Network, doing the game Friday night in Illinois, at Illinois. And then we'll talk to him again later on, and you make sure you catch his talents on YouTube or streaming, however you do that. This segment presented by OSF Healthcare. Stay with us. You're listening to the Sports Spectacular powered by IlliniGuys.com.
And this is Mike Kegley again. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Eye on the Illini. A little bit of a greatest hits, a little bit of a best of, so you can kind of close your eyes and pretend like the Eagles. You know, you're listening to the best of the Eagles with Hotel California already gone and all some of your favorite Eagles songs. One thing I would tell you is Eye on the Illini and the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular is powered by IlliniGuys.com. Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the United States or halfway across the world, IlliniGuys.com will keep you in the know on everything Illini related. Go to our website. You can subscribe for $99 for a year. It is one of the best $99 you will ever spend. And what really makes it cool is you can go back into the message boards and you can interact with other Illini fans. You can debate different things about this, that, or the other thing Illini related. You can argue, you can commiserate, you can agree with. And the other cool thing is with the message board, you can send messages back and forth, and you can even ask for clarification, answers, questions that you might have from Brad Sturdy or
Kedrick Prince or Matt Stevens, Larry or myself. So it gives you that next level of interaction that you really don't get, you know, from like reading a newspaper article or something like that. So we would always invite people to come there, get a subscription. You got 7 days to kick the tires on it. We don't have very many people tell us they don't want it after that trial time. And we'd love to have that. And of course, if you're listening to this before Christmas time, it's a real easy thing to decide to give an IlliniGuys.com subscription to that Illini fan in your life. If you've got a diehard Illini fan or even a casual fan that you would like to get a little more Illini oriented, give this gift to them. They will appreciate it. They'll have a lot of fun. And what better way for them to know how much you care for them? So with that, I thank everybody for listening to this episode. And please stay tuned as we will be covering, obviously, Illini sports and Illini games, particular with the men's basketball and the men's, obviously, the football team. And we also will be talking a lot about the women's basketball team as well. And, of course, recruiting and transfer portals are year-round. So we look forward to hearing you and taking this journey together and enjoying the Illini as much as we can. Go Illini!
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.